From gender and sexuality to race and socioeconomic status, I'll be talking to some of the most inspiring people in the industry, alongside the voices of today's youth, as we unpack identity through the lens of fashion. I'm Sachin Bola, and this is Fashioning Identity. On this episode, I'm surveying attitudes toward age in the fashion industry and what effect that has on the culture at large. I'll be looking at ageism and the distinctive ways in which women experience it, brand and career longevity, and how people negotiate getting older in an industry that fetishizes youth. To get a candid take on age and fashion, I spoke to Kelly Catrone, who is 53 and whose career has spanned over 30 years, touching on both the fashion and entertainment industries. She's the founder and mastermind behind PR firm People's Revolution, not to mention penning two New York Times best-selling books and appearing on TV shows, including The Hills and America's Next Top Model. She joined me in Heisen & Beide's recording studio in New York City to talk about ageism, age inclusivity, and if the industry will ever really change. So my first question for you is, what do you think the fashion industry's attitude is towards age?
They don't like age, older people at all. They like young. They're really, I think the fashion industry pretends to go along with whatever people want to talk about, but they're the last to do it, you know? So they really don't like old people. They don't like anybody over 25, as far as for imaging. And then for work, I don't think they like anybody over 40. And then they do token. Like they do token race, they do token age. Then 5 or 10 people get to stay. Like the people before me are like Fern Malice, Bill Cunningham, Grace Coddington, Hamish, Stefano Tonki. And so they're the next ones like on the deck. And then I'm next, I guess.
Why do you think that is? Where are these rules coming from?
I think it comes from society. I don't think that monotheism doesn't make room for ancestor worship. It doesn't make room for the feminine, and it also doesn't make room for understanding the hard work and the struggles that the generations before us came. I mean, right now we're going into Halloween, October 31st, and on November 1st is All Souls Day, and most pagan traditions, voodoo, Santeria, Tantra, Obia, you know, all of those things. I hope all you young kids are getting into that shit because it's time. But none of them, you know, they all have ancestor worship. So they're like, you know, you're walking on a path and you see like red fruit and somebody goes, whatever you don't eat that. And you're like, why? And you're like, your mouth is going to foam and you're going to die. Well, some of your ancestors had to participate in that experiment. People gave their lives for that knowledge. And we've traded it out for YouTube videos. That's kind of pathetic. Like, we've traded out that type of information for makeup application videos from a girl in Idaho. And not all cultures do that. Chinese culture doesn't do that. Indian culture doesn't do that. African culture doesn't do that. But white people do it all fucking day. And they're the most dangerous people on the planet. Boom, shakalaka. That's the truth. So, and the people who run the fashion business are white. So that's my answer.
That's a very valid answer.
Okay. Good. It took me 30 years to be able to answer that question.
Was there a time in fashion where age was more welcomed?
And no.
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 Unfortunately, no.
No, because people died younger. So, like, we think of Marie Antoinette as being old because of what she was wearing, but I don't even know. How old was she? Can you look it up? I guarantee you, when she said, let them eat cake, find out how old she was when she said, she was probably Kylie Jenner's age. No. No. I mean, maybe she was, like, 32. How old was Marie Antoinette when she said, let them eat cake? I'm sure she was young. She was beheaded anyway, but... No, it's getting better, but it's still not good.
Let's talk about it getting better.
How, it's not, though. I mean, you want to make people feel good?
Do you think it's...
I mean, you're Heisen & Beide. Why are we, like, trying to make people feel good? Let's just tell them the truth. Fashion doesn't like older people. They'll take a token older person.
So now we're starting to see the tokens, though, right? And do you find that we're also seeing some of the models from past years being brought out for campaigns, for runway shows?
Yeah, because they're costing the same price as a big girl now that nobody knows their name, but they're going to get more PR because they're Linda Evangelista. But is that fair to Linda Evangelista to put her in a cabin of 17-year-old girls from Estonia? I mean, she can hold her own because she's a fierce bitch. So I say, yay, Linda. But I don't think that the brand is having her there because she's older. I think that they're having her there because they're like, fuck, people are saying that we're only doing really skinny young girls that are blah, blah, blah. And then like, well, what do we do? Okay, well, let's just put a marker there. People will put those girls in a show, but they're never going to do a cabin of all 50-year-old girls. You're never, ever, ever going to see that. And if you do, it's like Branson, Missouri, and it's Dolly Parton's new line.
Do you think,
Google it.
Do you think that these, you know, Rihanna, for example, used a 67-year-old model for Fenty?
How many? One.
Right. Do you think
that this is a token old person?
Do you think that this is the beginning and this is the foundation of us seeing more of it?
No.
It's not. It's a trend.
Mark my words. Come back to this 5 years from now. I'll be like, Kelly Catrone calls it. Like, nobody's going
to
do that.
We want so bad for it to be more than just a trend.
Why? Why do you want it to be more?
Because
so what
of
would
the visibility.
Happen? Okay, so what would happen if Rick Owen, all right, if Rick and Michelle, who I know forever, if they did every season 50 to 70-year-old people, you think that some 22-year-old skateboarder in Venice who's banging Vanessa Paradis' daughter is really going to want to wear that brand? No. So it's not going to happen because it's not – it's .com, not .org. It's not like – you know, we are the world. It's the fashion business. People want to buy into the illusion of youth and power and passion. The thing that's sad is it's something that society has agreed can only happen to people under 30. You know, I'm 53 and my experiences of humanity, sexually, emotionally, psychically, are profound now. But I also wouldn't myself want to try to sell a brand to somebody with me as like the face of the brand. I would get different people who embody different parts of myself at those stages so they can speak to them and understand where I'm coming from. Do you know what I mean? But it's not about age. It's about humanity and it's about human rights and it's about really understanding that. And this sounds like a real bullshit thing to say, but like, Everybody has something important to contribute in this world. Every human being, like, you know, we're like really as unique as our fingerprints. And the fact that we've been taught to drive by people because of their race or their age or where they live or what they wear.
Going back to that 22-year-old skater, is there a way to communicate an older demographic to him or her with or them without, you know, with through the lens of fashion and making it cool and making it, you know, because at one point we will be that age as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I think it could be like Inez and Vinood doing like Once Upon a Time Somewhere in America. Maybe Lana Del Rey could do it because she could be like, hey, you kids with your vintage music, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, this will happen to you if you're lucky. Right. So it's going to happen to you.
But not even
right?
just from like a creative standpoint. But is there not a business case that people
no.
over the age of 30 have more disposable income, more household income
30.
Than a 20-year-old or over a 40-year-old?
Like, no.
Or over 50?
No.
For fashion?
No.
Okay. So there is no business case.
Not really. They don't have the same amount of money as somebody who doesn't have a child. I mean, think about it. If you make $100,000 a year and you're 30 and you don't have a kid and you don't have a husband and you don't own your house and your rent's $2,000 a month, or you make, I'm not talking about anybody I know in the room, but $300,000 or $400,000 and you have a kid and a nanny and private school or school and cars, and it costs me $675 a month to fucking park my car in New York. So yeah, no.
That's a good point.
No.
You've mentioned something earlier about, you know, models, and then there's also the people who work in fashion behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say past the age of 40, you start feeling a little out of place. Where do those people go? You know, I'm really curious about that age behind this, because I think for the most part, the general population knows that models are extremely young. But when you're working in fashion behind the scenes and you get to even 35, 40, you know, you start entering an office and everyone, the median age of the office is suddenly 26, 28 years old. So what, you know, what's going on with people behind the scenes who are getting older, and where are the, is there opportunity for work? How do they negotiate getting older behind the scenes?
I think it depends on what you do when you're younger. It's like being a rock star, right? Like Lenny Kravitz hasn't done shit and he's out on tour right now. We represent St. John, and today they're shooting a duet together in Paris. That's because Lenny is Lenny and he's held his own and he's done things in the right way, so he can step back out and say, hey, I'm Lenny Kravitz. I'm doing this video with St. John. I'm also going on my tour. I'm the father of Zoe. I still love Lisa. What's up, Jason Momoa? And come to the Bahamas and please help me. He has credibility. The Soup Dragons do not. Black Grape does not. You know, there are a lot of bands that kind of came out at the same time that do not. It's the same thing in fashion. You know, like I started my company in I started in PR in 1987, working for Susan Blonde, and then I started Katrona Weinberg in like 89, and then I started, and that became Untitled, and then I started People's Rev in 1995. I am the oldest, I think. I mean, I would invite somebody to tell me if I'm wrong, the longest, oldest, most consecutive running fashion show producer in New York. I don't, KCD doesn't count because there's no, none of the founders are still there. Paul Cavaco's a friend of mine, and Showroom 7, but they don't show every season. Mao doesn't show every season. Vanessa von Bismarck came after me, so did Stella. So I think I'm like, actually, and I know it because people come up to me and they're like, oh my God, you're a legend. And I'm like, say to Simone, that's really ageist. Like, why are these people saying that to me all the time? Because I hang out with 20 and 30 year olds. I don't think I'm 20 or 30, but I don't think about race. I don't think about age. I just think about vibes. So it's like, I don't really know. But I think that the people that get to stay are the ones who figured out how to adapt, or we had the lowest self-esteem. I'm not sure which is true. Like, I'm not sure if I'm the best or the worst. Like, I don't know if, like, the people who aren't there that I grew up with, like, a lot of them are dead, like, killed themselves, like Lee, like Alexander McQueen or Kate or Loren or Isabella Blow and, like, all these people I grew up with and, like, loved and hung out with. You know, am I smarter than them or am I not, like, not smart at all?
On this conversation, I wanted to bring in the side of being a woman and dealing woman and aging and ageism, particularly when you're working in fashion how much worse it is. You know, can you speak to that, whether it's from your experience or what you've observed from others, just that sort of double
People
standard?
Do not like women in general, newsflash. Okay. They don't like them from the time they're 5 till the time they're 500. And they especially don't like them if they aren't skinny, pretty, quiet, and agreeable. Okay? And so they have words for them, like virgin, maiden, crone, heck. Right? Those are the words. So for me, I don't feel – like, yes, I do feel that people are like sometimes, oh, Kelly Catrone, what does she know? It's like, come over in my circle, motherfucker. I'll show you what I know. But I don't really have a lot to prove, so I don't really care. Like, I've already had all of that kicked out of me. But I had it kicked out of me before I was older, right? I had it kicked out of me in my 20s and 30s. So
you mean any disadvantages you would have as a result of being a woman?
No, just like being pummeled for telling the truth, being pummeled for speaking my truth, being pummeled for not wearing makeup, being pummeled for not brushing my hair, being pummeled for, you know, just anything that people want to fucking talk about me. So I've already gone through that. And then when I got on TV, it just exacerbated that, right? So I already had been stoned 100 times, right? So now it's like, oh, somebody throws stones at me. It's like a boulder.
But do you think that is because you're a woman? Do you think
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, of course. Of course. People don't like powerful women.
Do you think that's changing at all?
No.
And can fashion help facilitate any change with regards to attitudes?
No, fashion's the worst. They show women on their fucking knees and naked all the time. And so we have to think about the imaging that we're giving our kids. And we're giving – the imaging that we're giving to our kids is that white men are in charge. That's the imaging that we're giving. And we're giving – the image that if you want to have a white man, you need to do this.
An older white man?
Any white man.
What advice do you have to today's mm-hmm. youth, particularly the ones who are working in fashion, consuming fashion, about what they can learn from?
What does consuming fashion mean? Like buying it?
Buying it.
Well, drug dealers don't do drugs.
Right. Buying fashion, talking about it on social media, participating mm-hmm. in it. You know, what's your advice to them?
About what?
About getting it right and not being so caught up in...
I don't think there's any way to get it right. Like, I don't know. Like, if you really believe that you're going to buy something and it makes you better, you might want to look at the formula of that. Because it sounds like a trick. I don't know. It's not like I'm a magician or anything. But if I were, it would sound like a trick. You know, we come into this world with nothing and we leave with nothing. I just want to, like, give a shout out to your, like, listeners. I really do. Okay? Because I never say anything nice. I don't. I mean, I do, but people don't know because I'm edited. But I think that what you're doing here at High Snobiety is really important. And I think that people really need to listen in on this podcast because the fashion industry is really outdated.
To shift the conversation to how age intersects with brands and professionals, I turned to Ben Gorham, the founder of Byredo. The luxury goods company quickly became a favorite among fashion insiders and luxury consumers after it was founded in 2006, and very much continues to be. But how do brands, especially relatively new ones, stand the test of time? And how do the people behind these brands negotiate getting older in a business that is so youth culture obsessed? I got on the phone with Gorham, who is 42, to find out. So my first question for you is, do you think that ageism exists in the industry?
I think, you know, without knowing specific cases, I would suspect that it exists, and maybe more and more as I see this divide and this new looking at this new generation of consumers, and also looking at, you know, things being very digitally focused. I would imagine that age could actually work against you in tackling those areas for companies.
Right. Have you ever felt as though your age held you back in the industry at any point?
I think maybe when I started 12, 13 years ago, there was an industry that focused a lot on, you know, history and experience. And I think one of the biggest challenges I had in the beginning was convincing people that I could do something I'd never done before. And I think maybe the perception of what I was doing, a lot of it was linked to me being, you know, 29 years old. So to a certain degree, at the same time, my experience in the industry has been that of founding my own company, being independent. So I've also not been kind of entwined in bureaucracies or hirings or hierarchies, so to speak.
Why do you think the industry is so focused on youth culture?
Well, I think that, you know, right, if I look at that, you know, right now, as that exists right now, I believe it's connected to metrics. It's connected to the next big wave of consumers that are coming up with spending. And historically, probably partly that, but we also have we also live in a society that's where there's a very clear narrative and ambition around, you know, eternal youth, and it drives industries like fashion, but also beauty and well-being and fitness. And so I think it's also, you know, it is, you know, culture. It's the culture we live in. And I think a lot of these industries mirror, you know, that culture.
Right. Do you think that that has any negative consequences on people who might feel like they're, you know, they're not being spoken to because they're of a certain age?
Yeah, definitely. And I think maybe, you know, now, in the last few years, I think this idea of inclusion and diversity, for whatever reason, is something people talk about and consider. You know, yesterday I walked by Balenciaga on Madison. There's a life-scape mannequin of probably a 70-year-old man in the window.
Mm.
So I think it's also a time where culture and race and age, the idea of inclusion exists. And I think people are actually reflecting on this idea of portraying youth in everything we do.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that as well in the industry. There's been, especially with the models, a sort of resurgence of models being used from past years. There's something very nostalgic about it, but there's also something very positive in terms of the representation of their ages. I don't know if you noticed that as well.
No, for sure. I mean, I do a fair amount of shows. I definitely see that. And I think it's also kind of, it's probably understanding that, the world is complex and it's most brands are working in a kind of a multi-category with a diverse price point, and you can't cater to one person today if you want to have a successful business. Things change too fast. I think that the volatility of doing that is people notice that or understand that.
Right. In terms of your business, or you personally as well, how do you bridge the gap between, you know, your generation and today's youth, Gen Z, if at all? And do you think it's necessary to?
You know, I think when people speak about it in very distinct generations, there's a lot of generalization about, you know, they think like this and they think like this, and studies are showing that, you know, this generation. But I think it's also, you know, the brands that stay relevant, the brands that are interested in popular culture, for them, it's not so much a gap. Because I think if you're on the ball, you're reacting to changes, and I don't think it's about I don't think you can draw the line as easily as you know people do when they say people born 1995 after 1995 think like this, and people born before 95 think like this. I think there's a blurred line there. I think it's about, like, as a brand, always, you know, keeping your ear to the street. And understanding how popular culture changes for all generations. So how do we bridge the gap? I think we stay curious and we stay interested in life and how people are living and how people are feeling. And I think if you do that in an authentic way, you'll stay relevant. I think it's more about that than devising specific strategies for people born after 1995.
My next question for you is, how do you find longevity as a brand in the industry?
I think for us, it's been, you know, always considering, you know, the long game. Always know that the decisions you make today are going to have an effect on the 20 years from now, 40 years from now. And I think, not to say that you have to prioritize the effects in the long run, but you have to consider them. And I've done that, and that's helped me pace myself. It's helped me not do things, focus on certain things. It's helped, attain a certain quality of product. And I think, you know, so you know, just considering it, always considering how the decisions you make for the business or the brand or even what they will mean in the long run. Because we live in probably a world that's faster than ever, especially when it comes to, you know, consumer goods, luxury and fashion. And I think it's easy to get caught up in you know, trends and opportunities. And it's easy to lose yourself in that. So I think always considering, you know, who you are and ultimately where you want to go helps steer you in, or create this, at least an idea of longevity.
Do you have any concerns about getting older in the industry, not just in terms of your brand, but also you personally?
I don't know. I'm still in this naive, you know, I still sit at a dinner with 20-year-olds and think I'm 20. I'm still, I was talking to somebody yesterday who said that their grandma still says she's 30-ish. I suffer from that a little bit, thankfully. And I'm curious and I stay, you know, open to how things change. I don't worry about it so much. Not from a practical sense and definitely not from, you know, the optics of it either. And, you know, maybe I'm yet to hit my true midlife crisis. And, you know, maybe that will creep up. But as it is, you know, right now, it doesn't worry me.
What about your style, your own style? How has it changed from, say, your 20s, your 30s, and now into your 40s? You know, do you wear the trends? Do you wear the hype brands? Like, what is that arc in your style? How did it progress from your 20s, 30s, and to where you are now?
I think in my 20s, I was still, you know, in my late teens and 20s, I was still, you know, I was living in New York and Toronto, and I was living in the 90s, you know, in hip hop culture and streetwear and all these things were just a part of my life. So that was, I think my sense of style or fashion was directly linked to this cultural movement, which it was at the time. And I think as I went back to Europe, and then, you know, later in my 30s, I think I imagined, you know, adulthood and like business and what that means. And I was really into like, you know, tailored suits. Mm-hmm. I began learning about men's tailoring and I felt like if I stepped into a room, a young guy stepped into a room with a proper suit and proper shoes, that people would take me serious. There was some disillusion of that, I remember. And then ultimately I've come back to, you know, a lot of the things that I wore when I was, you know, 18, like really iconic, like a pair of 6-inch, you know, wheat Tims. I'm still wearing, you know, my Jordan ones, essentially the same style of shoes I wore 25 years ago. And denim and t-shirts. I dabble in maybe not hype, it's not a gig, but as I'm, you know, quite close to the fashion industry, to, you know, friends that are designers, I try to support and I still buy a fair amount of, you know, fashion on a seasonal basis. So it's, I don't know if that's a good answer, if you get a picture of what I'm wearing right now.
My last question for you is, do you have any other, anything you'd like to add to the subject of age in the fashion industry? Any thoughts, whether from your brand or from your own personal experiences?
I think there's a. I think the topic of age is quite relevant, as you say. But I also think it's a bit inflated. And I think I speak to a lot of young people. I speak to a lot of our young clients. They are essentially different from my generation in certain ways. They're very independent. They're very, they do their research. They require, you know, a level of transparency, but they're also like young people that are growing. And when I, you know, when I look at my journey and I look at my mindset, it's evolved over time. But so to judge or to like put a label on young people and say, this is how I don't know if that's going to be the answer for a lot, especially these big companies that think there's a solution or there's a narrative that you can create that solves all the issues you have. So, I try to just kind of, listen and be a part of things and less about, you know, trying to solve a big problem that everybody seems to identify.
Charles Allcroft hasn't always been involved with fashion and streetwear. He taught art history at the School of Visual Arts for 25 years, was a performance artist and playwright for 25 years, and later worked at the Strand Bookstore for almost 20 years. Today, at 75 years old, he's better known as a streetwear aficionado. He was even given the nickname Mr. 630 by a Supreme shop guy, denoting the time he'd swing by the store to pick up the latest drops. I sat down with Allcroft to talk about how he got into the scene and how, for him, age is nothing but a number. 2 years ago, Gian DeLeon, Heisnabadi's editorial director, wrote an article about you calling you a streetwear god. Talk to me about that.
That altered everything. Then I became highly visible to me, and I realized what extraordinary fortune it was that this thing that many people would have worked up to slowly and intentionally, I just fell into. I was at NOAA one day. His friend Jason, now manager, said, oh, you know, here's this card. They want to do a profile. So after that happened, then I forget who it was. Someone said, are you on Instagram? I said, what's that? I had no idea. They said, well, this isn't a question whether or not you're going to do it. It is your responsibility. Because I realized I had been just, in terms of media, magically dropped by helicopter on the top of the mountain, then went on my way knowing nothing about Instagram and, you know, taking a few pictures here and there, and it eventually built up and up so that now I'm 500 posts later. I'm up to 5,000 followers.
People definitely are responding to you on Instagram. And what Heisnabadi appreciates about you, besides your knowledge of streetwear, is your age. Because there isn't a lot of representation of your age group in fashion. We need more of that.
I would say the fascinating part is, in terms of age, age is something I almost never think of at all. So I don't walk around thinking, oh, I am an old person. How will my life be today? It comes up every now and then. If I walk past Supreme or if I walk past V-Files, you know, and there are 20 people, all 20, then, of course, I think these people are much younger than I am. If I see someone in the subway who can barely walk up the stairs because they're, you know, crippled with age and arthritis, I think, oh, that's a really old person. I must in some ways be younger than that. What I was thinking about to prepare for your interview is the fact that the opposite is true when people see me. In these articles, Gian said, 73-year-old streetwear god. The streetwear god, you know, caused me to gasp. I thought I would never speak of myself in such terms. The more I learn of, since there are people who know far more than I do, the more I learn, I mean, it was snappy, it got your attention. The more I learn about how these words are used, I realize there is a kind of figurative quality to them. just as the first time I learned about OG from Glenn Brown, who I talked to, and then I once when he was a very young person, I think I talked to him and Justine Skye together. So that was a polite conversation with young people. Then I saw him later. I learned more who he was. I found out that he his handle was based on the Pantone color system and maybe the number, which referred to a certain shade of brown, which was like a visual verbal pun on his last name. I ran upstairs, and I had a bunch of cards from the Strand where I worked that were pure Pantone colors, and I just gave it to him. I barely knew him. I said, oh, this is important to you. Here, I want to give you these. Then he walked away, and he said, thank you, and he said it emphatically. It's sort of like, pay attention to what I'm saying. He said, thank you very much, OG. I didn't know what that meant. I thought, does it mean old guy? I knew I could see there was some deference to it, but then people kind of laughed and said, no, it's original gangster. It's a good thing.
What misconceptions do people have about your age?
Now, the fascinating thing is that when some people said, oh, you know, now we see who you are, they had ideas about how an old person should act in this way. And they gave them, and I would say my reaction was to think all of them were interesting. I had a lot of respect for these different people whom I had never met but had encountered on the Instagram. And I thought old people are different just like everyone else is. They are going their paths, and I was not the least bit interested in going down the paths that some of them had.
What were those ways?
Well, the street photographer said, oh, I'm interested in you. And I'll take some pictures, which were well received. Then he even said, we considered having a whole page of nothing but my pictures. And I said, well, what do you want for all of this? He said, I want nothing. I only want it credited. But once it gets to the point that people are going to see this and they will want to wear what you're wearing, money is going to start coming in. And I want a percentage of that money. I said, if you're talking about, we almost had a fight over this. I said, if you're talking about my wearing clothes for the sole purpose of making them popular, for the purpose of sort of earning money for this, I'm not the least bit interested in this, because this is really asking me to throw away the one thing I have as I stumble for a, you know, BTS. Understanding of this whole rapid, confusing, kaleidoscopic world, and that's my integrity.
Are there a lot of people in your age group who are interested in fashion and streetwear? And who are some of the notable ones?
I don't know a lot of people my age interested in streetwear that I could hear them and have them say, geez, Charles, you were lucky. You were in a couple of fashion weeks. I tried so hard, I wasn't able to do that. I don't know a lot of people like that. I would say that I am very interested in the people my age. In a different way, and I'm also surprised how. Maybe the great visibility they had has decreased, and then I'm puzzled why it is that that's the case. Specifically, if I had to say who have I learned the most from about the subtleties of blending different kinds of clothes, there was a person that I had seen around, learned about, read her book, and took her workshop twice. And that was, I would say, someone that many people in streetwear, I think, are utterly unaware of. And that's Zipporah Solomon, who was the muse of Bill Cunningham. and teaches classes, master classes in dressing. They're for the most part classes for women, but just the blending of colors she does with such skill. She has such a consummate selection of them. So I find you certainly can learn about how to be in streetwear from other old people, but you have to be willing, and that's what I'm trying to do now, open up your mind and see them. And then also I try and bring this now myself into the Instagram. I'm just thinking this is the continuity of world style right there. And why would you want to limit yourself to only some particular... That was one of the first things that I ever said when I was asked for a comment. And I said, I think young people are excellent about knowing what the latest thing is. I think they're great about having the energy and figuring out how to get to it. But I wonder whether they're really following this because this is just like the pick hit of the week. And if they ever put it together in an interesting way with something else, or right. It's just then the next week it's off to this. I said, I give them credit for all of that. Blending is something they should learn how to do.
Do you think that younger people hold older people in high esteem in terms of fashion?
I was once called Mr. 630 because I would get to Supreme at 6:30 late from working at the Strand. And so they would write 6:30 if they were saving something for me. I had a woman walking up Second Avenue, maybe about 30. She came out of a restaurant where she was working, and she said in the softest possible way and almost with restraint, she said, are you Mr. 630? With tenderness in her voice. Not like, oh, adulation, oh, aren't you the sort of, you know, star of whatever the musical group is. But then I immediately felt I should be as gentle back to her as I could. Instead of saying, yeah, I am Mr. 630. I said, yes, I am Mr. 630. Then she said, oh, you know, may I embrace you. Then it was this embrace of tenderness. And also I felt I should return it in that delicacy. Then she said, oh, maybe sometime you can come into my restaurant.
Fashioning Identity is produced by Sonia Manalili and written by me, Sachin Bola. Thank you to Kelly Catrone, Ben Gorham, and Charles Allcroft. On the next episode of Fashioning Identity, I'm examining the relationship between fashion and politics. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe to the series on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.